Coriolanus wished Lucy Gray could see how many people loved her. He wished she knew how he advocated for her. He'd become more active, pulling Lepidus over during quiet stretches and praising Lucy Gray to the skies. As a result, her sponsor gifts had reached a new high, and he felt confident he could feed her for a week. There was really nothing left to do but watch and wait. Treach came out long enough to snag Lamina's axe and for Vipsania to feed him. Tessaly retrieved another fallen drone and collected some food from Urban. Little else occurred until late afternoon, when Reaper wandered out of the barricade, rubbing sleep from his eyes. He seemed unable to make sense of the scene before him, the stabbed bodies of Tanner and particularly Lamina. After walking around them for a time, he lifted Lamina up, carried her over to where Bobbin and Marcus lay, and arranged the three in a row on the ground. For a while he paced around the beam, then he dragged Tanner over beside Lamina. Over the next hour, he collected first Dill and then Sol, adding them to his makeshift morgue. Jessup remained the only one left out. Reaper was probably afraid of contracting rabies. Once he'd neatly lined up the others, he swatted at the flies that had gathered. After pausing a moment in thought, he went back and cut off a second piece of the flag, draping it over their bodies and causing another wave of outrage in the hall. Reaper shook out Lamina's flag remnant and tied it like a cape around his shoulders. The cape seemed to inspire him, and he began to spin slowly, looking back over his shoulder to watch it fly out behind him. He ran then, spreading his arms out as the flag streamed in the sunlight. Exhausted by the day's activities, he finally climbed into the stands and waited.
"Oh, for heaven's sake, feed him, Clemmy," said Festus.
"Mind your own business," said Clemencia.
"You're heartless," Festus told her.
"I'm a good manager. It could be a long Hunger Games."
She gave Coriolanus an unpleasant smile.
"And it's not like I've abandoned him."
Coriolanus thought about inviting her to the Citadel for his follow-up appointment. He could use some company and she could visit her snakes. 5 o'clock rolled around with the dismissal of the student body, and the 8 remaining mentors gathered for beef stew and cake.
He couldn't say he missed Domitia, and certainly not Pup, but he missed the buffer they had provided between him and the likes of Clemencia, Vipsania, and Urban.
Even Hilarius, with his woeful tales of being a Heavensbee, had become a strain. When Citeria released them around 8 o'clock, he headed straight for the door, hoping it wasn't too late to have his arm checked. The Citadel guards recognized him, and after they searched his book bag, he was allowed to keep it and go down to the lab unescorted. He wandered a bit before finding his destination, then sat in the clinic for half an hour before a doctor appeared. She checked his vitals, examined the stitches, which were doing their job, and told him to wait. An unusual energy filled the lab. Quick footsteps, raised voices, impatient commands. Coriolanus listened hard, but he couldn't make out the cause of the activity. He did hear the words arena and games more than once and wondered about the connection. When Dr. Gall finally appeared, she made only a cursory check of his stitches.
"Another few days," she confirmed. "Tell me, Mr. Snow, did you know Gaius Breen?"
"Did I?" asked Coriolanus, picking up on the past tense immediately. "I do. I mean, we're classmates. I know he lost his legs in the arena. Is he—"
"He's dead. Complications from the bombing," said Dr. Gall.
"Oh, no." Coriolanus couldn't process it. Gaius dead? Gaius Breen? He remembered a joke Gaius had recently told him about how many rebels it took to tie a shoe. "I never even visited him in the hospital. When is the funeral?"
"That's being worked out. You must keep it to yourself until we make an official announcement," she warned him. "I'm only telling you now so that at least one of you will have something intelligent to say to Lepidus. I trust you can manage that."
"Yes, of course. That will be strange, announcing it during the games, like a victory for the rebels," said Coriolanus.
"Exactly. But rest assured, there will be repercussions," In fact, it was your girl who gave me the idea. If she wins, we should compare notes. And I haven't forgotten, you owe me a paper.
She left, pulling the curtain closed behind her. Free to go, Coriolanus buttoned his shirt up and collected his book bag. What was he supposed to write about again? Something about chaos, control, contracts? He felt fairly sure it began with a C. When he approached the elevator, he found a pair of lab assistants ahead of him, trying to maneuver a cart into the car. On the cart sat the large tank filled with the snakes that had attacked Clemencia.
"Did she say to bring the cooler?" asked one of the assistants.
"Not that I remember," said the other. "I thought they'd been fed. We better check. If we're wrong, she'll go ballistic."
She noticed Coriolanus.
"Sorry, need to back out."
"No problem," he said and stepped aside so they could wheel the tank out. The elevator doors closed, and he could hear the whir of it ascending.
"Oh, sorry. It will be back in a minute,"
the second assistant said. "No problem," Coriolanus repeated. But he was beginning to suspect a very great problem. He thought of the activity in the lab and the games being mentioned, and Dr. Gall promising repercussions. "Where are you taking the snakes?" he asked as innocently as possible. "Oh, just to another lab," said one. But the assistants exchanged a look. "Come on. The cooler takes two." The pair receded into the lab, leaving him alone with the tank.
"In fact, it was your girl who gave me the idea."
His girl, Lucy Gray, who'd made an entrance into the Hunger Games by dropping a snake down the mayor's daughter's back.
"If she wins, we should compare notes."
Notes about what? How to use snakes as weapons? He stared into the undulating reptiles, imagining them being let loose in the arena. What would they do? Hide? Hunt? Attack? Even if he knew how snakes behaved, which he didn't, he doubted these would conform to any norms, as they were genetically designed by Dr. Gall. With a sharp pang, Coriolanus had a vision of Lucy Gray in their final meeting, clutching his hand as he promised her they could win. But there was no way he could protect her from the creatures in this tank, any more than he could protect her from tridents and swords. At least she could hide from those. He didn't know for sure, but he was guessing the snakes would head straight for the tunnels. The dark would not impair their sense of smell. They would not recognize Lucy Gray's scent, just the way they had not recognized Clemencia's. Lucy Gray would scream and fall to the ground, her lips turning purple, then bloodless, while bright pink and blue and yellow pus oozed onto her ruffled dress. That was it. The thing the snakes had reminded him of the first time he'd seen them. They matched her dress, as if they had always been her destiny. Without knowing quite how, Coriolanus found the handkerchief in his hand, neatly balled up like a prop in one of Lucky's magic tricks. He moved to the snake tank, his back to the security camera, and leaned over, resting his hands on the cover as if fascinated by the snakes. From that vantage point, he watched the handkerchief fall through the trap door and disappear beneath the rainbow of bodies.